question for you this morning. What does pizza have to do with sin? Everything. Becca says everything. Pizza is good. So, have you guys heard of this thing going around the internet called Pizzagate? Any of you heard of it? Well, I thought some of the younger ones would have, because you guys are on like Reddit and places like that where it's actually a thing, a big thing. Let me tell you about it. Here's the deal. On October 28th of 2016, we all remember this, FBI Director Comey said that he was reopening the investigation into the Hillary Clinton emails that were leaked because more had been found on the computer of Anthony Weiner, and Anthony Weiner is the husband of Huma Abedin, one of Hillary Clinton's closest aides. On October 30th, someone using the Twitter handle @DavidGoldbergNY tweeted that the new emails pointed to a pedophilia ring and Clinton was at the middle of it. That rumor was retweeted 6,000 times or more. Let me just take a brief foray here. Don't retweet false news, please. InfoWar talk show host Alex Jones repeatedly suggested that Clinton was involved in pedophilia, and John Podesta, who was her campaign manager, participated in satanic rituals. On November 4th, Alex Jones posted a YouTube video, and he said, "When I think about all the children Hillary Clinton has personally murdered and chopped up and raped, I have zero fear standing up against her. Yeah, you heard me right. Hillary Clinton has personally murdered children. I just can't hold back the truth anymore." That video was viewed more than 475,000 times before YouTube took it down. Over the next few days, the rumors about Clinton merged with information about John Podesta found in the emails that he occasionally went to this place in Washington, D.C. called Comet Ping Pong, a pizza place, a pizza joint. The hashtag Pizzagate began to trend on Twitter. Now, Comet Ping Pong is owned by a guy named John Alfari. He's owned it for about 10 years. When he began Comet Ping Pong about 10 years ago, he had a run-in with one of the city councilmen because he was going to put ping pong tables out on the sidewalk. And the city councilman said, if you put ping pong tables out on the sidewalk, it can lead to people being raped and killed. I didn't know ping pong was such a violent sport. That's what he said. The statement got mixed into the rumors, and Comet Ping Pong became the place where the pedophilia ring was located. Someone noticed that the ping pong paddles that were on the menu at Comet Ping Pong looked a little bit like a symbol that some guy was running around the internet saying, this is a symbol that people that are into pedophilia use to let them know what's on the menu. So they took that off the menu and they started saying, so this is what's going on. And then as some of Podesta's emails got leaked and he was talking about actually going to pizza, some guy came up with the idea that this is a code. When he's talking about pizza, he's really placing his order for what type of child he wants. It is sick. It's scary. On December 4th, a man from North Carolina got into his car and he drove to Washington, D.C. and he took an automatic rifle into Comet Ping Pong and held the owner hostage, and he chased everybody out while he went through the store looking for the children that were being trafficked, that were stuck in pedophilia, that Clinton and Podesta were abusing. He didn't find any. He didn't find one. He did eventually give himself up peacefully. He did not get killed, thankfully, because he very well could have. His name was Edgar Welch. There are some facts in the story that I just told you. Hillary Clinton actually does exist. John Podesta actually does exist. They did share a couple emails about whether or not they would get together to have pizza at Comet Ping Pong. Because this is going to be hard for you all to believe, but they both like pizza. How hard is that to understand? Why do I tell you that story? Because we live in a world that doesn't know what to believe. We live in a world that has traded the truth for a lie. We live in a world that is confused, that is lost, that has gone off the rails. We absolutely do. Sin is no longer sin. There are two things that people believe, and they are both misinformation. The first is, let me know if you've heard this one, if it feels good, do it. If it feels good, do it. And the second one is, if I'm not hurting anybody, it's okay. Both of those ideas are wrong. Both of those ideas are self-gratifying. That should be a problem for those of us who claim that we follow Jesus. Because what did Jesus say? In Luke 9:23, he said, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must what? Deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. It's not about me. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not about me. And it's not about you. It's about Jesus. It's 100% about Jesus. Here's what we need to know. And there are some things that we need to know as we navigate our way through the world that we find ourselves living in. The first thing that we need to know is this. God is not surprised by the state of our world. He didn't wake up one morning and say, oh my goodness, how did we get to this? It's not at all surprising to him. 1 Timothy 4:1 says, but the Spirit explicitly says that in later times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. People are deceived by deceitful spirits and the doctrine of demons. Now listen to me. This does not mean that the devil made me do it. That's not what Paul was saying there at all. Satan does his job. His job is what? He is the father of what? Lies. He does his job. He lies. And he does it well. He throws out lies. It's what he does. He twists things. He tells us what's up is down, and what's right is left, and what's wrong is right. And we listen. And we listen. And it's subtle the way that he does it. Why do you think so many people in the church stood up and supported the legalization of gay marriage? Why do you think they did that? Do you think they did that because they thought they might want to have a gay wedding sometime? That's not why they did it. It's much more subtle than that. The lie went like this. You can't help who you love, right? Right? You can't help who you love. But you can, but that's the lie. You can't help who you love. The heart wants what the heart wants, right? And the second part of that lie is, why should you have to deny yourself of love? You should be able to experience love if that's what you want. Right? Both of those statements are false. But it's like that with any sin. When we get down to the basic thing behind the sin, we find one truth. There's a desire to satisfy self. There's a desire to feed our flesh. There's a desire to do what we want. I'm going to do what I want, and you have nothing to say about it. That's the state of affairs we live in. There's something else we need to know. We, and by we I mean the world, the entire world, we did this to ourselves. 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 through 4 says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths." Romans 1, 21 through 23 says, "For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures." When we had the chance to choose God and follow him, we chose to do something else. When we had the opportunity to follow God, we chose to follow self. We chose instead to listen to the lie. We chose to turn away from God. We became fools and we traded what was real for what was false. It is absolutely astounding to me that we live in a world where if a woman stands up and says she had an abortion, she is lauded as a hero. She exercised her right. I don't get that. Especially when I think back to the events of this last summer and a young child somehow managed to find himself in a gorilla cage and that gorilla named Harambe had to be killed so that he could, before he did serious damage to the child, and the outrage was that the gorilla had to be killed. We've exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. That's the state of the world we live in. What can we do about it? Are we supposed to just sit there and let it be? Is that what we do? We just let it keep going? It's going to go that way until it doesn't go that way anymore? What can we do about it? We can pray. Jesus said that one of the roles of the Holy Spirit was to convict the world of sin. We can pray for the world to be convicted. We can pray for the blinders to be removed. We can pray that the lies of Satan be revealed. We can do that. That's something we can do. That's something we should do. When we sing, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here, it is much more than just, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here so that you can manifest yourself through me and I can speak in tongues, or I can give a word of prophecy, or I can give a word of knowledge, or maybe someone who's sick can be healed. It's more than that. When we say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here, we need to be saying, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here to search my life and convict me of those things that I may be doing wrong, of the sin that may be in my life. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here to convict the world. Show them that what they are believing is a lie. But praying alone is not the answer. I know, prayer changes things, and prayer is a mighty weapon, and it absolutely is. But the Bible did not tell us just to pray. The Bible never said just pray. Ever. In fact, my Bible says, if you come up on someone and they're in need and you pat them on the head and say, go, peace be with you, I'll pray for you. Faith without works is dead. We can live the life God intended us to live. 1 Timothy 4:6 says this, but you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. We can think clearly. We can. What was it Jesus said? Deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow him. We can do that. We can do the work of an evangelist. But Pastor Troy, I don't talk good. I'm not going to go out and talk to people. I can't do that. Maybe yes, maybe no. An evangelist isn't someone who just goes somewhere and preaches. An evangelist isn't someone who just goes somewhere and stands on a street corner and start like in the song Jesus Freak. It's not someone who gets up and says, Jesus is the way. Sometimes they do that. Sometimes evangelists do that. But that's not the primary role of an evangelist. The primary role of an evangelist, we talked about this on Wednesday night. You guys really need to come to Bible study on Wednesday night. You miss out on such great things when you're not there. But the primary role of an evangelist is to bring good news. That's what an evangelist does. An evangelist brings good news. The earliest use of the word that we can find is when Alexander the Great, remember him? Way back before Jesus was born, a long, long time ago, he won a mighty victory. And he sent people to run back home to spread the good news of the victory. Those people were called evangelists. We get to do the work of an evangelist, but we get to spread the news of a much greater victory. Satan is defeated. I almost went Carmen. Jesus is the champion. We get to spread the news that Jesus won, that the war is over, that we don't need to fight. We get to do that. We can all be evangelists. We can all bring good news into the places we go. It's what Jesus said we're supposed to do. It's what Jesus said we were. Way back, the first sermon that Jesus preached, the Sermon on the Mount, after he said all those weird beatitude things that flipped everything upside down. He got into Matthew 5, verses 14 and 16, and he said, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Are we living our lives so that people can tell that there's something different about us? Or are we trying to blend in? What are we doing? How are we living our life? Is it more important to us to be popular and to be liked? Or is it more important to us to follow Christ? The two don't always mix. Sometimes they do. But the two don't always mix. Casting Crowns sang a song called "What This World Needs." And I love the lyrics. So it says, "What this world needs is for us to stop hiding behind our relevance, blending in so well that people can't see the difference. Because it's the difference that sets the world free." If there is nothing different about us, why would they want what we've got? Really? The only thing that I'm going to add to my life is going to church on Sunday? I don't need to do that. So, Sarah and I went to a movie last night. Good movie. Really, actually, I was surprised at how good the movie was. And I was even more surprised when I found out the mixture of the people that came behind the scenes to make this movie. It's called The Resurrection of Gavin Stone. And it's made by the WWE, World Wrestling Entertainment. It used to be WWF when I was growing up, and that was so much easier. But it was made by the WWE and Affinity Church Films. These two entities got together and they made this movie. And they did a really good job. And without giving too many spoilers, the movie is about this guy, Gavin Stone, who's a childhood actor, TV star. And he gets into all kinds of trouble. Now he's grown up and he gets into really bad trouble and he has to do community service in his hometown. And the person that assigns him to the community service assigns him to do community service at this church. So he goes in, and he's doing his community service, and he's working, and he sees that they're doing a play. Well, he's an actor. He wants to be part of the play. He wants to be in the play. And he lies and says he's a Christian so he can be part of the cast, and he gets to hang out with them. But it doesn't make any difference in his life until you go through the whole movie. Nobody ever really gives him a gospel presentation. They just live their lives in front of him. They just do their normal thing. And it's contagious. And it rubs off on him. And he starts to get it. Now, I'm not going to say there was no preaching because he went to church on Sundays and they invited him to come to their small groups. So there was Bible study. It's not like, I don't want to ever get the impression that if we just go out there and we live a good life, it's going to inspire people to get saved. They need to hear the gospel at some level. They absolutely have to. But as the movie is winding down and he's starting to realize the truth that these people live, it impacts him, and he actually does repent and turn to Jesus. Interestingly enough, while he's hanging on the plane, Jesus hanging on the cross. Okay, no more spoilers. Go see the movie. It's a really good movie. Oh, there's a lot of reason to. It's a good movie. Behave. You're my wife. You're supposed to support me. We've been bought with a price. Christ's blood. We are not our own. And we've been created for what? Good works in Him. Ephesians 2:10. For we are His workmanship, created for good works in Christ. We are created for good works. It's what we're meant to do. That's what we can do. This world that we live in, it's a scary place. It's a mess. It's really easy to get tripped up. It's really easy to get caught up in it. If we deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow Jesus, we can make it through. We can make it through. I started out by asking, what does pizza have to do with sin? Well, let me answer that for you. Absolutely nothing. Except. So on Wednesday nights, sometimes we go to Old Chicago where they have pub pizzas for $2. Most of us get pizza, which is good and holy and righteous. And then there's Alyssa. She gets this pizza that has two items on it. Black olives, green olives. Do not encourage her. And every time she orders it, I look at the waitress and I plead with her, please don't bring that. Please don't give her that. Put some meat on it. Make it a real pizza. Pizza has absolutely nothing to do with sin, unless it's that pizza. But here's the thing. If we pay attention to the lies and rumors that Satan is throwing out there, and he's throwing them out there, it won't be too long before we're caught up in sin. Let's put our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith, and lean not on our own understanding. Let's pray for this world, that they would see through the counterfeit and grasp the reality of a God who loves them and wants to save them. Let's pray that we would not be fooled by the subtle lies. And the reality is people in the church get tripped up by the lies all the time. All the time. I get a newsletter every month from Springfield, the national newsletter. And quarterly, they put out a list. And that list is everybody who was certified, everybody who was licensed, everybody who was ordained. And it also, on that list, it's everyone whose credentials were revoked. And that list is never empty. That list is never empty. There are always people on there whose credentials are being revoked because they did something. And they do that because they have to let us know, because if someone has revoked credentials, we are not supposed to let them come minister in the church. So they have to let us know. And it's terrible. Every quarter, Assemblies of God ministers who are supposed to be filled with the Spirit, right? We are filled with the Spirit, which gives us the power to witness, to be His witness, and to live this life. Every quarter, they fall. Let's pray that we would not be fooled by the lies. Let's pray that God would continue to equip us to do the work He has called us to do. That He would continue to give us strength to live the life that we are called to live. that we would be the city on a hill and the light in the darkness, and that people would see our good works and they would glorify the Lord. We have a few minutes this morning. I want to end in prayer. If I could have you all stand. Lord, we live in a world that has traded you, that has traded the knowledge of you for the fiction of a lie. And it bombards us on every side. We see it everywhere we go. In almost every circumstance we find ourselves, we find people that have bought in this lie, hook, line, and sinker. But Lord, I open my Bible and my Bible says that you are not willing that any should perish. And I read that you sent your Holy Spirit to convict us, to let us know about that sin and call us to repentance. And Lord, this morning, I want to start by praying for us, the people that are in this room. Search our hearts. If there be anything within us, Lord, if there are those things where we have bought the subtlety of the lie and we have turned away from you, show us, call us back. Call us back to you. Lord, empower us. Give us strength as we go out this door, out these doors, as we go into this world, that we would be your evangelists, that we would bring your good news wherever we go. Lord, that people would know that we are different. And not different weird, but different in a good way, different in a contagious way, in a way that draws them. You said if you were lifted up, that you would draw all men unto you. Lord, let us lift you up in our lives. Let us lift you up. Let us understand what it means to follow you. Let us understand what it means to take up our cross. Let us understand what it means to lay ourselves down. And Lord, for those people that we're going to find ourselves amongst as we go from this place, those people who have been deceived, I pray, Lord, that even now your Holy Spirit would begin working on them, that they would start to see through the lie, that the message that has been shielded would begin to be unshielded, that they would be able to begin to see it, that they would be able to understand it, Lord, that they would be able to respond to it. Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you that you are equipping us and sending us into battle for you. Thank you that we don't need to fear because the battle has already been won. But Lord, you still choose to use us and you still choose to move through us. And we thank you for that. And we love you, Lord. And we praise you. And we will continue to give you all the glory and all of the things that you do through us. We will turn back to you for praise, Lord. We will not take these as our own victories, for we have done nothing. You have done everything. Thank you, Lord. We love you, we praise you, and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a good afternoon. Again, we have service at 6 o'clock. Come back.